Well, I appreciate each and every one of you being here this morning. And it is great to have such a great group here. I guess if we'd have known 2 months ago that a coffee house like this would, you know, build it and they will come, I guess we'd have just started right here 2 months ago, right? great to have each and every one of you here, especially on Super Bowl Sunday, starting the day out right. I know some of us are maybe just here so we make sure we get an extra special prayer in for our favorite team, right?
This is just the pregame warm-up, right?
There you go. All right. I'm going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. But while you're turning there, I'm just going to put a quick timeline on the board, just as a quick refresher, if you will. I'm right-handed, so I need to get on this side. So if I just put, if you look at the Bible as a timeline, kind of a history book. And so if you start out here in Genesis, and I'll just write Genesis up above it, up to a point in time in which, actually let's put the birth of Christ here, and then the crucifixion. So we have Genesis through Malachi, commonly known as the Old Testament in our Bibles, right? And then we have four books here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that talk about that 33-year period while Christ was on earth, starting with his birth until the time that he was crucified.
Steve,
move the board to your
right, because this whole side isn't...
Well, I'm going to move to that side in just a second.
Okay, we'll be quiet.
We'll get this figured out over the next couple weeks, like what tables we might want to move and today, so...
We've got an overhead projector.
Do we?
Well, we got a screen.
Wow, yeah.
Oh, sure enough. Okay. So I will move in just a second here. So we've got Genesis through Malachi, the end of the Old Testament. Then your Bible picks up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. By the way, if anybody needs a Bible, there's a box of them right here, so that we've got plenty of extra Bibles if anybody needs one. Then the book, so after the crucifixion, the book of Acts picks up. Of course, Acts has 28 chapters, and on the 28th chapter, I'm just going to put some parentheses here, there is a time in the future that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible calls the calling out of the body of Christ. And there's that period followed by a 7-year period of great tribulation. It's all about the prophecy in the Old Testament here, prophesies that period, followed by the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth to set up his 1,000-year reign. After Acts, so right in through here would be Romans to Philemon. All of these are written by a guy named Paul. Matter of fact, he wrote, if you counted that, Romans to Philemon, that's 13 books. And there's how many books in the New Testament? 27. Good, class. 27. And so 13 out of 27, that's almost half. Almost half of the books of your New Testament are written by one guy. That's Paul. So Romans to Philemon covers this time period. And then Hebrews picks right up here. Hebrews through Revelation covers the remaining time period as prophesied in Old Testament. Okay, now I'm going to get to the other side of the board. Just want to get a timeline up there. And again, that should match what you have in your... How's that, Brian? Better?
Yes.
Okay, great. Now, that being said, and we'll come back to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I do want to talk to you about the year 2013. So while we talked about, 2,000 years ago and 4,000 years before that, I want to talk to you about the year 2013 and let's make this applicable to today. So let's start, first of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Notice this verse 11. This is written by Paul, and he says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Wow, Satan's got some devices, gang. And we're going to take a look at some of those today. Satan does have some devices. So just remember that verse. Let's read it one more time. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Maybe one other question I would ask you is, are you being ignorant of his devices? Okay? Because if you are, Satan will get an advantage of you. So just think about that as we go. Now let's go to 2 Timothy and chapter 2. 2 Timothy being one of the last books that this guy Paul wrote. And if you think about the two books, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, you know, Paul is writing to his protege, if you will. You can call Timothy that. Timothy's the up-and-comer. Once Paul gets to the end of his ministry, Paul's really preparing Timothy to take over for him, if you will. And think of preachers and teachers today, that's exactly who they should be modeling themselves after, is Timothy. Now watch one of these things that, remembering the verse we just read, so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, again, one of the last books that Paul wrote, he's already in prison, he's writing this last book of instruction back to the man that he's preparing to take over for him. Of course, any good business today, right? They always want to know the succession planning. All right, Mr. CEO, when you leave, who's taking over? What are you doing to make sure he's ready to fill your shoes? Now watch this. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 22. So Paul tells Timothy, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. And here's where I really want you to watch these next phrases. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. And verse 25 really is my verse here, 25 and 26. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Wow, look at that right there. We're instructing people that oppose themselves. It's something inward. It's going on with them. Those snares of the devil. People opposing themselves, okay? So back to 25. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Out of the snare of the devil. Snare, what do you think of when you think of snares?
Trap.
You know, traps, exactly. All right, traps. Devil's got snares all out there, all over the place for us. Okay, Paul, when he's writing letters back to people and back to churches, he's writing back to people that are saved. Okay, he's teaching people that are saved, just like Kevin led off with the verse, God our Savior would have two things of all people out there today, of all mankind, that they be saved and that they come unto the knowledge of the truth. So everything is about those two things. And when people do get saved, how are they living their lives? And today we've got 300 and some denominations in this country, and it's Sunday morning, and everybody's out there at their place of worship, if I can call it that. And most of the snares that you would hear about in most places would be what? Smoking, drinking, dancing, whatever, carrying on, right? Chewing, all right? And let's just watch and see if any of that's really in your Bible, okay? All right, and so it might be a little heresy that you're hearing from here, but, if you'll just dress up your flesh and live your life good enough, then God will accept you. And no, the Bible tells us in Romans 3, there's how many good?
None.
And in case any of us thinks that doesn't mean us, the next phrase says, no, not one. Okay, there's how many that understandeth?
None.
And in case any of us doesn't think that applies to us, no, not one. Okay, and there's none that understandeth. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. All right, none of us can get good enough. All right, and so think about the two verses or the two places we've read so far. You know, snares of the devil, his devices, and people opposing themselves.
I have a question on that.
Okay.
That opposing themselves, does that mean, like, when you talk about smoking, dancing, yada yada, does that mean, like, guilt, because they feel, like, guilty of
that? That would absolutely be part of it. They're opposing themselves. They're thinking that if I do these, I can dress my flesh up to be good enough, and therefore that guilt definitely becomes part of that. How many people do we know today that just live in guilt? All right, now, would it be a good idea to maybe stop smoking? Absolutely. You know, you're going to have a healthier life. But that does that have anything to do with your righteousness before God Almighty? No. And that's the key where... And again, we're going to read this in our scriptures here today. In verse 25 now.
Is that also including people who have trusted the Lord as well as people who haven't got that day of...
Both sides.
Okay.
Both sides, absolutely.
Okay.
There are people who think that's how they, quote, get saved, is to stop doing, you know, stop doing this, stop doing this, stop doing that, and do go to church every Sunday and... Maybe you need to be there Wednesday, or maybe, you know, depending on the group that you're talking to,
right.
You got to go every Saturday with some groups. You know, they've got their laws, if you will. Follow the law. And you know. Okay, and we're going to see that here, that we can't do that today to be saved. You know, praise the Lord, we live in this time period. It was always faith in God plus works. From Genesis, clear out to the... In the book of Acts, okay, I'm don't make this the end. Anyway, after Christ ascended even, the early church, they still had to work for their salvation. They had to, what did Peter tell everybody? Endure to the end, right? They had to keep doing good, if you will. They did have to keep the law and not do certain things and do certain things until the end. Out here, 7 years. Buddy, it's all about works. It's faith and works. In here, as we're going to read later, it's faith without the deeds of the law. Okay, you can try to do a, follow the law as good as you can. There's none that do it good. No, not one. All right, just it isn't going to work that way. Okay, while I'm in 2 Timothy, let's just go right to chapter 3. Right where we left off there. So people oppose themselves in verse 25. And they need to recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. In verse 26 of 2 Timothy 2, right? And then we go right into 3:1. I want to make one other point about 2:26. When you're working with other people, please realize that person, has to recover themselves. You can't do it for them. All right? Husbands and wives, that includes us working with each other. We can't recover them. They've got to, as it says in verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. So don't forget that. Now, 3:1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. So watch as we read these things. Paul's talking about the last days. We don't know for sure when that's going to be. We might be in them. It might be 100 years from now. We don't know for sure. I know many times we think it's now, but watch this as we read. Verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Wow, some pretty powerful words there. Watch what he says in 1 Timothy. Just flip to your left one book there to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Once again, about the last days. First Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Interesting word there, seducing spirits. 4:1. Did I say something wrong there, Brian?
No,
okay, great. Yeah, 4:1. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Wow. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, now these things there literally would be chapter 1 all the way through where we are right now, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Okay, but and on he goes here. Let's stop for a second here. So he's warning us, you know, he's warning Timothy in the latter times. Okay, these are the things that you should be watching for. Seducing, giving heed to seducing spirits. Think about that. What are the seducing spirits that are out there today? The snares of the devil. Seducing, seductive. What comes to mind when you think that, right?
But it's more also like when you don't look to the word or look to the light, you open the door for those snares to walk in unrecognizable at the time until they've got you by that hook. And then there you have to go back to releasing yourselves from that.
So let's take that thought right there. Okay, something's going to fill our mind, isn't it? You know, let's get off our mind for a second. We eat every day, right? Something's going to have to fill your stomach, all right? Or you get too hungry, right? You get hungry, you eat. Now, you've got a choice. I can put good fuel, if you will, good fuel in, good food in, or I can put bad food in. You make a choice. But you got to put something in, otherwise you're going to starve to death. You know, you're going to have hunger pains, cramps, right? So your choice. Do I want to eat good food and be healthy, or do I want to just eat bad food all day, if you will? All right, same thing with our minds. Something's going to fill our minds. So coming back to the point that's being made here, we can fill our minds with the doctrine that we find in Romans of Philemon. We can fill our minds with scriptures. Let me just share one thing. Kim and I started something new this year. Doing it together. I think we've always done it separate, and it's really cool, you know, something different. I guess when the kids leave and you start, what can we do better? Anyway, whatever day of the month it is, we together read that chapter in Proverbs and then pray after that together. So we're starting the morning in Proverbs. It's the first thing we do before we go do anything else for the day. And my point is, I'm just sharing something you might want to consider, those of you that have,
actually never, you know, got families. 31 chapters, it works perfectly.
Yeah.
Well, and I, so thanks, and I'm going to direct this to families now. We have said, boy, wouldn't this have been something if we would have started our whole family this way, for that matter. You know, the girls seeing us reading, you know, so today being Proverbs. February 4th, you'd read Proverbs 4 together. We just do 7 verses each. She reads 7, I read 7. The next 7, she reads 7, I read 7. Okay, and then we pray together afterwards. So anyway, we're starting our minds off. And Proverbs, not written by Paul. It's okay, there's a whole lot of wisdom in that book of Proverbs. And we try to talk about a little bit, how does that apply to our lives? Okay, so fill your minds, and that's a great point. If you don't fill your minds with the Word of God, something's going in there. Yeah, good food. Thank you, Brian. Good food. Well, there's some billboards out here that can sure catch our minds, seducing spirits. We're going to see today during the Super Bowl, how many of us are football fans and how many of us watch for the commercials during the Super Bowl, right? And even good football fans are still looking for the commercials, right? And some of them are pretty darn seductive, right? And hey, they're pretty appealing to the eye for that matter. The point is, if we don't fill our minds with good scripture, you know, maybe those commercials we're watching might stay up there a little bit longer. And you know, I'm not telling you not to watch, you know, commercials. That's not the point. It's just what's filling your mind. That's my point. Now, here's, I want to come back to 2 Corinthians again, back to the beginning of 2 Corinthians. I want to say chapter 2. No, I'm sorry, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 is where I want to go. The first book that shows up. Yep. Give me a chance to grab a sip of coffee there, so that's okay. Romans 10. Romans just happens to be the very first book that shows up in your Bible written by this guy, Paul. Now, it's not the first one he wrote, but it's the first one listed. It comes right after the book of Acts. And in this first book, I want you to watch now, again, in light of what we've been talking about, what Paul starts warning and talking about how some people try to become righteous, okay? Let's just start in verse 1 to get the context going. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record. And who's the them? Always get context. Them is Israel, okay, from verse 1. So, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Okay, he wants Israel to be saved. They have a zeal. What does that mean? It means they're trying to do all the right things for God. The things that they've been taught, you know, for 4,000 years. Do this, do this, do this. Don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. That's what Israel has been taught for 4,000 years. Now, verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Wow. Now think about that. They're trying to establish their own righteousness. How are they doing that? Following the law, do A, B, and C, and don't do 1, 2, and 3. They're trying to be good. They're trying to dress up the flesh, if you will. Well, we can't do that. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. And on he goes. So you see two righteousnesses there, don't you? Verse 4 talked about the law for righteousness. Verse 6 says, the righteousness which is of faith. For 4,000 years there was a law for righteousness, starting back there in Genesis, all through, you know, Exodus. Moses went up, got the Ten Commandments, right? Came back down, gave it to the children of Israel. They were supposed to follow it. The book of Exodus also gives us 619 ordinances that that church was to follow. And they were tough. Dietary laws and laws for every facet of your life. Matter of fact, parents had certain things they were to stone their kids even if the kids did those things. I mean, it was a tough, tough law. And but it changed right here in the book of Romans. But, you know, all that continued, you know, up until the crucifixion here. That's where, you know, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Okay, and then Paul tells us in Romans, this is the first book where we see we can be saved without the deeds of the law. Go back to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Watch what he says here, and you cannot miss this. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall... What's that very next word right after that in verse 20? Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall... How much flesh?
No
flesh. There shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And watch these next two words in verse 21. But now. But now? You know, this morning when Kim and I woke up, we were in Bee Cave. But now, here we are in Genuine Joe's. A little bit different. Something changed, right? Much different from 3 hours ago. But now, we're here in Genuine Joe's. When Paul says, but now, for 4,000 years it's been one way, and this is the first book that he wrote that shows up in your Bible, and he says, but now, verse 21, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. That's all we have to do is believe this and trust in it for our salvation. Totally different than what had been going on for 4,000 years up until this point. Totally different.
Can you touch on the distinction of faith of Christ?
I'm going to get there. Thank you. Absolutely. Yes. Back here, it's faith and works again. Okay, they had to have faith that if they did the works, that God would justify, that God would see them as justified, see them as they had to earn their righteousness. We, on the other hand, have the righteousness of God applied to us. And no, let's go back to the point that was just made in verse 22. Notice it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Does that say by faith in Jesus Christ?
No.
No. It says by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you understand that? The faith of Christ. What that means is back here, 2,000 years ago, I'm going to try to write from this side of the board, when the Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cross, and he shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins. Every person out there in the world today, he died to pay the penalty for their sins. He was buried, and on the third day, God the Father raised him from the dead. The gospel of Christ, as laid out in 1 Corinthians 15. How that Christ died for our sins. That's a key thing. It's not the death, burial, and resurrection. How many churches today will you see a cross with a dead man hanging on it? Okay, we don't want to worship the dead man. We preach Christ and Christ crucified. And we're going to read those verses in Corinthians. Well, Paul says that term. We preach Christ and him crucified and raised again for our justification. The faith of Christ. It's not even your faith that saves you. It's a faith of Christ. He had enough faith to allow himself to die on that cross. Do you understand? He died in 6 hours. And there's all kinds of prophecy about his death, right? We all read and heard a lot about that. And the prophecy about not having any broken bones, and you think, why was that such a big deal? Because when men were crucified on a cross, that's how they died, the way they died. It usually took days and days and days. It was horrific. They died of suffocation. See, when they're hanging on that cross, they'd use their arms first to hold them up. And then when they got too tired, they'd push up with their feet. And then when their legs got tired, then they'd hang on with their arms. That's why eventually, after they had suffered enough, the soldiers would come and break their wrists, break their ankles. They could no longer prop themselves up, and they would suffocate. That's how they died of crucifixion. So for the Lord Jesus Christ to die in 6 hours was almost a miracle. You see, he willingly gave up the ghost. There was a little soldier, that's a soldier, standing there at the foot of the cross. He was a centurion, a Navy SEAL, if you will, today's. And he looked up. And when the Lord Jesus Christ died, gave up the ghost, is a term used, that centurion said, surely this man is the Son of God. Now, think about that. For a Navy SEAL, I mean, these men know death when they see it, don't they? Yeah. And he said, surely this was the Son of God. Not is, but was is the term in the Bible. He knew right away because he saw a man willingly let his spirit go, die. That's the faith of Jesus Christ. See, when he died, he went to hell. Spent 3 days in hell. Our Bible tells us that. But he knew that God, that he, the faith of Christ, he had faith that God the Father would raise him, and he raised him for our justification, so we can know that we can have eternal life, and we will be resurrected at some point in the future here. And praise the Lord for that. That's the faith of Christ. That's the difference between faith in Christ and faith of Christ, as Romans 3:22 says, as Galatians 2:16 says, same thing. Actually, let's go read Galatians chapter 2. One of the principles we always say when we're studying the Bible is never take the word of the man that's in front of the church, the man that's in front of the class. You need to see it in scriptures. You've got to see it written down in your Bible. The Bible is the word of God, not the man standing in front. Okay, that's the key. So make sure you see the scripture say something. Now, that faith of Christ, I want you to think about that. Two things I want you to see here. The faith of Christ and justification without being good. Okay? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Knowing. Okay, not thinking that we maybe this is true. It says knowing. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Let's read that phrase again. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Wow. Well, that throws out a whole lot of groups this morning, doesn't it? Some of the buildings that we may have passed on our way here. They're all in there. It's all about doing good enough, keeping the law. You can't. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. There's that term of Jesus Christ again. We're justified by the faith of Christ right there. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Whoa, there you go. We believe in Jesus Christ today that we would be justified by the faith of Christ. See that difference? And see how the verse says it right there. Just let the words say what they say. You don't need, well, does it really mean this? Does it really mean it? No, just let the word say what they say. That's what the cool thing about it. That's why if you put your faith in what you read in this Bible, this King James Bible, you're absolutely going to see it and have, that's how you gain your confidence. That's how you gain your faith so that you can believe in and trust in the fact that he paid it all right there. And there's nothing you have to do today other than trust and believe. Stop trying to be good and start trusting in the completed work of Christ on Calvary. It's that simple. Let's finish the verse, though. That we might be justified in the middle of the verse by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. So he adds it one more time. And not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You cannot miss that. We're going to flip one book to the right, and I think this will be our last verse. The next book after Galatians is Ephesians in chapter 1. So us today. Now, one of the things while we're turning there that I would say also, remember at the beginning we were talking about the snares of the devil, all right, and the devices. We're not ignorant of his devices. There's really two sets of devices. The most prolific set of devices out there today is religious America, if you will. Get good enough and you can earn righteousness with God. Those are devices, those are snares, and the devil's the one controlling them, gang, as we're reading. That's what I want to show you in the Bible. Quit trying, just trust. Now the second one, and because my time's pretty much up, but what I would have said is, we in the grace movement need to be careful. Because the other snares that are out there is head knowledge. And that's what Paul was starting to get into there in 1 and 2 Timothy. You know, avoid foolish questions and be careful of thinking you know too much. In Corinthians he says, not by wisdom of words. You know, just preach the cross, preach Christ and Him crucified. And people want, and we should study, but there's a lot of stuff going on out there right now where people think they know so much, and that becomes another snare that interferes with the preaching of the cross.
What's that verse? If any man thinketh he know anything, he know nothing as he ought.
Thank you. Amen. Well stated. Knowledge puffeth up. All right? We need to be careful of that. It's all about Christ and Christ crucified. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1. And watch the end of verse 12. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12, where he talks about who trusted in Christ. So verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. In whom? In Christ, right? In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That verse right there has so much in it. But you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The gospel of your salvation is how that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried and raised again for our justification. The gospel, the word of truth. After you believe that and trust in that and that alone for your salvation. Yeah, when he died, he paid for all your sins. Not the sins that happened up until February 4th, including the ones after February 4th, 2013. They're all paid for. He had to shed his blood, because without the shed, Hebrews tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Okay? It's always taken blood. Back here, they sacrifice goats and lambs, and you had to get the best, right? But they had, and by the way, if we were still in this time period, y'all better get them up closer, because when we cut the throat of that animal and catch the blood, we're going to have to throw it out over you, and at least a few drops have to land on you. Because if they don't land on you physically, literally, you're not covered by the blood for those sins that happen. All right, but we're not in that period. Don't worry, I'm not going out to get one. Brian, you can put your goat away there, and don't worry. You can keep milking them.
Start throwing them around the kitchen.
But that's what they had to do all the way up until here, okay? There are some of those 300-some denominations today that are still doing that. Now, if they get found out, they're going to take them away. There's some where we used to live in the hills of North Carolina that worship or handle snakes and stuff too. I mean, anyway, there's people that, if they just get in Romans to Philemon and understand that the blood was shed here to pay the penalty for how many of your sins?
All
your sins. Colossians 2:13 says, having forgiven you all trespasses. And all means what?
All,
absolutely. All, not just all the ones you did in the past. No, all, including the ones you're going to do. They're already forgiven. Does that give you a right to go out and do anything else that you want to? No.
It gives you a responsibility.
It gives you a responsibility. When you really understand it, it's a responsibility. So verse 13 says, the moment you believe it and trust in that and that alone for your salvation, not only are you saved, but at the end of that last phrase, it says you are sealed. You understand, when you get saved, you cannot lose your salvation, praise the Lord. Because I don't know about any of you, but I only know for myself. I die daily, Paul says. I would lose my salvation every day.
Amen.
If one sin would do it. Sometimes, how many times an hour would we lose our salvation if they were not all paid for?
See what happens when our team starts losing.
Yeah, exactly. How many times on the way here today, from the house to this place, from traffic, somebody, I'll let him have it, though. Don't worry, I didn't tell him he was my number one fan. I didn't go that far.
Okay.
Not verbally. And nor did I give him any graphics. That he was number one in my heart.
Well, the thing about that is I know that when I got saved, it came about really not by the physical sins that I was doing. It came about by when I actually trusted the Lord. The physical things I kind of got under control.
But the things mental. That were ticking in here, I couldn't stop those things.
Yeah. Yeah. Good, so great point.
It was those great things point. That actually made me sit back, you know, oh, those bad neighbors that I got over there, I don't want to get those guys. You know, but, you know, it's they're not saying it, but you're still thinking it. Or the lust of some beautiful woman that's out there, you know?
Yeah.
You're not doing it, but you're thinking it, you know? And so that's really what caused me on my personal side. Yeah. It wasn't those physical things.
Brian, those are excellent, excellent points. If you even went back here to the book of Matthew, where Christ is preparing 12 men, called the 12 apostles, but one of the things he's teaching them back there is the thoughts. You know, the law says if you commit adultery, right, you broke the law. I tell you, and I'm going to add some words here, a more strict law. If you so much as look on a woman with lust in your heart, you committed adultery with her already in your heart is where that's then added. And yeah, Brian, you know, how many times on these commercials that come today on the Super Bowl, you know, lust of the eyes. You know, if you steal, cut your arm off. And he means literally. As a matter of fact, there are nations in this world today. You get caught stealing something, they literally cut your arm off because Matthew tells them to. Saudi Arabia and some of the other in the Middle Eastern countries. Absolutely. Yeah, all those Middle Eastern countries. And it's actually a sign of disrespect to the person when you really go into all the deep. But the point is, they do that, literally. They think they're following the word. Thank the Lord. We live in Romans to Philemon, the doctrine that's in Romans to Philemon, written by this guy Paul. Not the doctrine before, not the doctrine after. We're in this doctrine. While we're in Ephesians, now come to chapter 2. Chapter 2, we're going to read two verses here. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved. That does not say, for by grace will you be saved. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's that phrase again, not of works. You don't have to go to church every day of the week, every Sunday, every, you know, once a month. You know, it might be a good idea to go study a lot, but you don't have to. It's not of works. And why not? Lest any man should boast. That's just it right there. People would be able to say, look how good I am. I don't smoke like the guy down the street. I don't fill in the blank. And not only that, but I do. I go every morning of every single day to go pray at the church or something like that. They can boast on what they're doing. Okay? Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's exactly why it says that phrase right there. The good news is, and I'll stop here. I was trying to keep it at 30 minutes. The good news is we just need to stop trying to be good enough for salvation, if you will. You can't. As we saw earlier, Romans 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that understandeth, no, not one. The good news is the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died, he was paying the penalty for our sins, the death we deserved. He went to hell for us, where we deserve to go. And if we simply put our trust in that for our salvation, we're saved right then and there. And there is a moment in time when that happens. Just like when you graduated from high school. There was a second where, second earlier, you weren't graduated yet, you were still a student. And boom, a second later, you're now graduated. You know, when you move the tassel, whatever. Call it where you want. When you got married, there was a second earlier where you weren't married, and a second happens. Boom, now you're married. And again, put that event wherever you want that to be. So it is with your salvation. There's a moment in time. I am lost, sinner, doomed for hell, because I realize there never has been a moment in time where I got saved. And when you realize that, and you right then and there, as if we were back in Romans again, and don't turn there, but Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The second you call upon the name of the Lord to save you, just as in Ephesians 1:13 there, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It's a momentary event, if you will, and once it happens, it's there forever. You can't get lost again if you wanted to. You mean if I go commit murder tomorrow, if I go commit adultery? Yep, you're still saved. Praise the Lord for that. I wouldn't recommend that you go do those things. You know, you commit murder, you're probably going to spend the rest of your life in jail. But you will be saved.
It makes your testimony really difficult.
It makes your testimony difficult too. You commit adultery, it's not going to be a happy marriage at the house. If you even have a marriage anymore. Okay, so no, we don't have a right to go do those things. I want you to understand though, that there's nothing that can make you lose your salvation. He says right here, we're sealed. If you were to go to Ephesians 4:30, he would tell you how long that is. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. The day of redemption out here. When our spirit is redeemed, if you will. You cannot lose your salvation. You are sealed, and sealed means sealed. And that's as strong as all means all. It really is. So we just stop trusting or stop trying to earn our salvation. Just start trusting in the completed work of Christ right there. We get His righteousness applied to us at the moment of our salvation. That's right. You become as righteous as God Almighty, as the Lord Jesus Christ right there. His righteousness is accounted to you and for you right then and there. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Yeah, when you really think about that. Wow. All right, I appreciate each of you being here today. Try not to lust too much when those commercials come on. But if you're saved, you can know no matter how much you do lust when those commercials come on. You're still going to be saved.